the great jubilee feature of the Mosaic Law, is of incredible importance to us in foretelling by typical clues the timing and features of restitution, the divine purpose, dimension, and scope of its significant fulfillment. This great type or picture not only proves that we are in the presence of our invisibly returned Lord, but gives us the exact date of that return. If there is a better way to prove the 1874 date, I'd like you to show it to me. Actually, I believe it is the only way to directly prove that the Lord returned in 1874. It's the very best proof of knowing that exact time. And in this discourse, I will share with you my beliefs of why I have personally concluded that not only has our Lord returned in 1874, as most of you do, but proves to me also that we are in the first phase of the antitypical times of restitution and harvest of the gospel age. I would suggest that in what you are about to hear, you might see how Jehovah God placed a front door and a back door on the thousand-year reign as well. By the time we're done, you will have a good idea of what I believe and why I believe it. You might have other ideas, and you have a right to, but in the interest of come let us reason together, please try to take an objective look at the scriptures presented and how they all add up. There might be some things here that you have never yet considered. Notice also, there will be no reprint references cited in this discourse. Many scriptures and a few volume citations, but no reprints. Finally, let's show the Lord we can love one another as brethren and give each other latitude for growth in the deep things of God. Also, because of the large assignment given, I'll have to talk a little bit fast, but I'll try to go slow for the translators, slower than I'd like to. So put your seatbelt on and hang on tight. Before we go on, you may wish to pull out, as some of you already have, or download the chat handout chart that's available in chat there, as you can see, so that you can follow along much better in this presentation when the time comes. It's important. In the interest of time, let us turn to our Bible student benchmark scripture of restitution and our Lord's return, found in Acts 3:19-21. I submit that this is the only scripture in the Bible that specifically states when Jesus would return, even though we have other corroborative scriptural evidence. So how important is this scripture? Think about that. Pretty important, right? Listen carefully. Acts 3:19-21. Repent ye therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Identifying the times of restitution, the great Jubilee's antitype, will be our main focus. However, other important doctrines are attached to this important type. No doubt many have already seen the inseparable linking of the second presence to the times of restitution here in this scripture. The way I see it, if Christ has returned, then the times of restitution have begun. If the times of restitution have begun, then Christ has returned. They appear to me to be inseparably linked together in this Acts 3 text. It is my belief that you cannot separate them. I repeat, you cannot separate them without changing the true and intended meaning of the scriptures. Restitution can also be translated restoration, as you can see in the New American Standard Bible and at least 10 other translations of the Bible. So let's keep the thought of restoration in mind as we journey through this discourse. The idea of reconstitution and reestablishment is also akin to the word of restitution. If you ask your cell phone for the definition of restitution, it might come back something like this: the restoration of something lost or stolen to its proper owner. The restoration of something to its original state. Webster has the thought of a return to a former condition or situation. Let's see how some of these definitions might work. Did the nation of Israel lose the land promised by God sometime in the past? Yes, it did. Has the nation of Israel begun to have its promised land restored to it? Have you noticed a reestablishment of the land of Israel? Yes. The restoration of Israel's land has begun. Have you noticed that Israel has even had its historical capital of Jerusalem recognized by one of the greatest nations on earth? Okay. So after 26 centuries, Israel is having its land returned or restored, even in part. I believe that's a yes. It's a process that's begun. Yes, Daniel's people, Israel, are being delivered or restored back to their promised land, Daniel 12:1, and the land itself is being restored to its original condition. Truly a modern miracle of our day. Restitution of the promised land. A huge sign of the invisible return of Christ. Israel delivered by Michael himself, the great prince, the right hand of Jehovah. Daniel 12:1. And Israel has even become a nation. And Jerusalem is being recognized by countries like ours as being Israel's true capital. Yes, Israel's land restoration, I believe, has truly begun. But let's now take a look at the Mosaic law feature of the Jewish Jubilee, picturing and proving the nature and timing of the times of restitution and our Lord's return. There are two aspects of the Jubilee to prove this: the prophetic and the law aspect. Let's look at something very serious, sobering, and insightful that our Master Christ Jesus gave us in Matthew 5:18. Please do me a favor and turn to this scripture in your Bible or electronic device. Matthew 5:18. This first consideration will be about the shadow of the law aspect, which foretold of good things to come, Hebrews 10:1. What Jesus said here has great implications. You cannot take it lightly. Our beloved Master, Jesus, made this profound statement in Matthew 5:18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, notice, till all be fulfilled. What was Jesus saying to us? He was teaching us that every type of the Mosaic law must have a fulfillment. I repeat, every type of the Mosaic law must have a fulfillment. We know that scriptures like Hebrews 10:1, that the law was a shadow of good things to come. Hebrews 10:1. Notice the first part of this scripture. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. We know from 1 Corinthians 10:11 in the Rotherham version that these things were for types or in samples for our admonition and understanding of God's will and purpose. God went to great lengths to make sure that these types were kept intact to teach us important lessons for our faith, fortification, and our spiritual edification. Jesus said, every type of the law must have a fulfillment. As, for example, the type of the Paschal Lamb, which we review every memorial season. Don't we all recognize that the Paschal Lamb was slain, roasted, and eaten on the 14th day of Nisan by the Jews of old? And didn't this happen over and over again, celebrated by the Jews every year on its anniversary? Until when? Until the real Paschal Lamb came along, the reality or antitypical Paschal Lamb, Christ Jesus. Even John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God. And we believe Jesus died on the 14th of Nisan as a fulfillment of that type. When Jesus uses the word fulfilled in Matthew 5:18, it means to become, to come into being. It does not mean, as some suppose, to be completed, as in this order has been completed or fulfilled. Again, till all be fulfilled means till all come into being. Very important. So therefore, the Jubilee or any minutia of the law must come into being to become a reality at some point. Nothing of the law's typical features could be left unfulfilled. And remember, Jesus said he came to fulfill the law. A very dear friend and brother taught me many years ago that types that repeated themselves over and over again might be termed shadowy types. I kind of like that. As a shadow of a telephone pole continues unto the actual pole, the Passover feature of the law continued year after year until the reality came along, Jesus, the true Paschal Lamb. The type ceased when replaced by the reality of its commencement. So too do the shadowy cycles of the Jubilee type continue until their fulfillment. Keep in mind that the Jubilee itself and its cycles are both types. The Jubilee type, which we read about in Leviticus 25, was one of the chief features of the law. Wasn't it a time of restoration of the land and possessions and families that was prefigured in this important type? Its cycles are actually a divine time clock that God has designed to point to something wonderful that would actually happen to the whole world and not just the typical people of Israel. It's a beautiful time clock that points us to a wonderful time in its antitypical fulfillment, both as a great jubilee and as a grand jubilee. It's a time clock that locks the date for the return of Christ and the times of restitution or restoration of all things, and what we might call the front door, and also the completed restoration beginning the ages to come at the back door of the millennial or messianic age. Let's read about this in Leviticus 25. Please turn to this and read along with me. What happened in the Jubilee year? I'll give you a second to turn to that. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune the vineyard, and gather the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest, notice, unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field, nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed. For it is a year of, listen, a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you. I'm going to skip down to verse 8. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Please notice the divine times principle God introduced here of squaring the years. 7 times 7. An apparent divine principle of squaring given by Jehovah. I also believe that the 7-day week of Leviticus 23:3 is also a type to show how we have a Sabbath of rest on the 7th day, of which points to the 7th 1,000 year from creation, being the antitypical Sabbath day, Matthew 24:20. And you know that James 5:4 tells us that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord of the Sabbath. Again, I believe that if Jesus has returned, then the 1,000-year Sabbath day is here. And if the 1,000 Sabbath day, the seventh day, is here, so has Jesus returned. 2 Peter 3:8-10. And now let's read Leviticus 25:9. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement, shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. Compare the word shout in the Greek in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And ye shall, listen now, hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you. And notice this, brethren, ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of it of itself in it, nor gather the grapes of it, of thine vine undressed. For it is the jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. Notice again, in the year of this jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession. I suggest, and this is my suggestion, that your possessions are something you own and have a right to. In this country, we say you possess certain inalienable rights, don't we? So you possess rights, right? Here in Leviticus 25, it says that ye shall return every man unto his possession, doesn't it? I believe a return of rights is part of the restitution process. Verse 10 13 and verse 41. 10, 13, and 41. So to me, I see a return anatypically beginning about the time of the return of our Lord in 1874. Rights do to begin to mankind in some way, minorities as well as land rights to Israel. That is exactly what I saw as I studied history from that time period onward. The city of Petah Tikva in Israel, or Door of Hope, was established in 1878, and I understand it was the first piece of property that Israel owned for over 24 centuries. That's significant. Restoration of their God-given land rights had begun. The Door of Hope was like a front door to Israel's rebirth as a nation. Restitution was inseparably linked with the return of Earth's and Israel's restorer, Christ Jesus, our King. Earth's new King, I believe, came in 1874. Examine Luke 19:15. Please write that down. Luke 19:15 and Matthew 13:41. And you also see from both Matthew 13:41 and Luke 19:15 that when Jesus returned, he returned with a kingdom. And a kingdom has a king, doesn't it? And a king reigns in some capacity, doesn't he? Jesus has been king of the earth since he returned in 1874. We will review these scriptures a little later. Now again, why is this Jubilee feature of the law such a key understanding for the new creation? We believe this beautiful picture of the law in Leviticus 25 was given to foreshadow the eventual full recovery of mankind from the Adamic fall, including the first phase of rights and liberties lost since the Adamic fall. Notice this similarity in sequence, okay? Adam and Eve first lost certain rights and liberties, and then they lost their lives. So too, first mankind gains back certain rights and liberties, and then they gain back their lives. Two phases. We believe there is a restitution of the earth and then a restitution of the world, or human restitution, the awakening from the dead, when the virtuous blood of Jesus will be applied on behalf of Adam to the human race. Human restitution, or restitution of the world, has not begun yet. Only restitution of the earth. So we could say that restitution has begun in some ways and hasn't begun in other ways, depending on what phase or times of restitution you're referring to. Notice it's not the time singular of restitution, but rather the times or plural of restitution. You might take note of that and do a little study on that. I'm not totally confident in the word times in the Greek, but take a look at it. Some dear brethren may only be looking at the human phase of resurrection of mankind yet in the future, saying the restitution of the world is still future, where probably most of us, like myself, refer to the restitution of the earth as already beginning, with rights and liberties returning more and more. Harvest Gleaning, Volume 3. Write this down. Harvest Gleanings, Volume 3, page 864 and 865. It's not a reprint. Page 864 and 865, but it's important. Brother Russell clarifies this distinction between restitution of the world and restitution of earth 1 week before he died. Read it for yourself. You'll find it very interesting. So Jesus returned in 1874, and earthly restitution began. But restitution of the world did not. We believe the first phase of his progressive kingdom, stages of inauguration, began at that time. And the returned king selected a messenger to declare this to the church and gave them meat in due season. Matthew 24:45 and Revelation 11:15. This last scripture says that this seventh messenger will declare this message of Christ's reign, and the nations will be angry during this time. Look at verse 18. The beginning of his reign will not be peaceful. Psalms 97:1. I believe it's a time of clouds and darkness when Christ, as the general of Jehovah, will reign in tearing down the nations. But his reign has various stages of inauguration. We believe both the chronological aspects of the Jubilee as well as the character features of the Jubilee type have both reached their fulfillment time of the beginning, their antitypical reality. I submit that we have started to see evidences of this antitypical fulfillment since October of 1874. Today we are primarily summarizing the chronological features and some of the character aspects of the Jubilee's type and antitype. We also believe, as we said, that there are various times or phases of restitution, namely restitution of the earth as well as restitution of the world. As we said, we believe the latter phase or human restitution is yet future, when the virtuous blood of Jesus will be applied on behalf of Adam to the benefit of the human race. I believe that most brethren actually agree on this last statement and concept, that human restitution or restitution of the world is yet future. Now, let me also remind you again that there are actually two methods of demonstrating the chronological aspects of the Jubilee. One is the law feature, and the other is the prophetic feature. Let us attempt to briefly explain the law feature first. Now, let us briefly do an overview of the law feature. Taking what we believe is the divine method of squaring presented to us in Leviticus 25, namely the examples of squaring 7 times 7 days equaling 49 days, and the 50th day being Pentecost, then the 7 times 7 years equaling 49 years, and the 50th year being the Jubilee year. We follow the same principle when calculating the grand cycle of Jubilee that continues from the last typical Jubilee observed by Israel in 626 BC, namely squaring 50 times 50, which appears to be the divine methodology. Recall that Jesus stated in most emphatic terms that it would be easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one jot or one tittle of the law to fail in fulfillment. If the Jubilee reality or antitype doesn't commence in some way when the typical Jubilee ceased, then Jesus was wrong or didn't tell the truth. Matthew 5:18. Now, I don't like people saying that about my master, do you? Of course not. He never contradicted himself. Now, just like the Passover was observed in its yearly cycles until the reality replaced it, namely Jesus himself, our Passover lamb, so too, even though Israel could no longer observe the Jubilee celebration when in Babylonian captivity, listen now, that law feature would have failed in fulfillment unless one grand cycle continued from that last typical observance in 626 BC. before the captivity. How else would you solve the problem? So we use what we believe is the divine scoring principle and continue the remaining divine cycles of 50 years from that point, which would be 50 times 50 or 2,500 years of one grand cycle, leading to the great Anatype, Earth's Jubilee, Volume 2, page 186 and 187, and also Volume 6, very important, page 50 and 51. However, that was only the Great Jubilee and not the Grand Jubilee. Please note the difference. And the way to solve the puzzle of God's divine intention was carefully tucked away in a single scripture. We'll cover more on this real soon. But right now, take and subtract 1874 from 2500 and see what you get. You should come up with a date of 626 BC, which was Israel's last observed Jubilee. They couldn't have celebrated another one because they were in Babylonian captivity. Nebuchadnezzar was not about to let that happen in his kingdom, right? So that's the way that God locked in the starting point of this important date of 626, their last observed Jubilee. So, did the law fail in fulfillment here? No, clearly not. That would be serious. Satan would just love for you to believe that and make Jesus out to be a liar like Satan is. God forbid. Satan is the antithesis of Jesus. Therefore, 2,500 years from the last Jubilee observed, namely 626 BC, would bring us to October 1874 AD. Now, keep in mind, this is the law methodology of reckoning. So off the script, if you're looking at the chart, that's the prophetic one, okay? You need to take 2,500 years, which is 50 times 50, and subtract 626, since you are traveling across the BC AD timeline. So, 2,500 minus 626 equals October 1874, culminating in the great Anatype, Earth's great Jubilee, and the restitution of all things promised by the mouth of all the holy prophets. Congratulations. You just proved the 1874 date. Restitution has a restorer, and Jesus comes when restitution comes, as that restorer, Acts 3:19 to 21. You can also just add 626 with 1874 and come out with the 2,500 years or the 50 times 50 year squaring principle. Brother Russell brought it out much better than I do in study 6 of volume 2. So, this is the Jubilee as a type in the law or the law feature. So another way of doing this would be to take 19 observed Jubilees of 19 times 50 or 950 years. And then add this to the 2,500 years just mentioned. And you would come up with 3,450 years. Now, if we take this time period from 1575 BC, when Israel entered the land, unto 1 AD, and then subtract this from the 33,450 years, we arrive at 1875 Jewish time. Their year starts in October, or that would be October 1874 our time, the way I understand it. This would then be the beginning of what I would call the front door of the great Anatype of Earth's Jubilee of 1,000 years. Note, not 1 year, but just as the Anatype is always larger than the type, so too the Anatype of 1,000 years would be larger than the type of 1 year. And it is the same in 2 Peter 3:8 and 10. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. The seventh 1,000-year Sabbath day, of which Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, as the Apostle James styles him in James 5:4, and the great Sabbath day of rest would be 1,000 years. See 2 Peter 3:8 and 10 and make the connection. Volume 2, page 186. Now, let's take a look back at the chart that you hopefully picked up on chat. So off the chart, pull that up right now. I'm not sure I can do this. Let me see here. Here we go. Bear with me. This is for those that don't have the chart, that can't pull it up. So just bear with me a second. And for some reason, I'm not seeing it. Brother Bill, do you happen to have that chart?
You have to have it opened first before you'll see it on share screen. It has to be opened up.
Yeah, I thought I did.
Go to share screen, and you'll be able to spot it there.
Right. Well, let me go back out here and just see if I can do that.
Make sure it's open.
Yeah, I thought I did that. There we go. Can you see that now, Brother Bill?
Yes.
Good. Okay. All right. Okay. I don't know that you can see all of it here, but we'll,
Yeah, you shared your whole desktop rather than just the item. There were two places you could have clicked on to share.
Yeah, I think we're good.
That's better.
Is this better? Okay.
Yeah.
We'll be right there. Hopefully you have the chart printed, but please do that if you don't. So now let's take a look at the chart and get a better idea of the prophetic view of the Jubilee, which is different than the law view. The law view shows things as they would have been had Israel carried them out properly. But the prophetic view records things just as they will actually occur. So now we will reckon these cycles as they have occurred, cycles of 49 years without jubilees. I think this view is even more solid. It's prophetic, I believe, based on a prophecy because of Jeremiah's prophecy in Jeremiah 25:7-12 and Jeremiah 29:10. Where Jeremiah prophesied about the 70 years of desolation of the land. So it's prophetic. God's rule is to establish everything by the mouth of two or three witnesses. These are critical understandings, so please read these carefully. This isn't easy for everybody to understand. I believe God just wants us to try our best. Sometimes brethren don't understand because it was never really explained to them very well, or they just struggle with math. Perhaps some never saw the importance before, but I didn't get on my bike and ride off the very first time. Maybe you did, but I struggled at first. For me, this prophetic view using the 70-year desolation of the land is the very best chronological proof there is that our Lord returned in 1874, and that the great restorer was about to commence restoration to Israel, mankind, and the whole earth. You cannot have restoration without a restorer or somebody who does that restoration. Christ is God's designed restorer for humanity and earth's new king, as we mentioned earlier. Now, let's understand that God had good reason for the Jubilee cycles to continue, even when Israel could no longer celebrate them. For again, you see, the Jubilee cycles themselves were typical in nature. Let me explain. God had directed Israel to begin celebrating the Jubilee system explained in Leviticus 25 as soon as they entered the land. Israel observed the various Sabbaths of 7 times 7 as directed, including the Jubilee 50th year following for 19 cycles of 50, even if they celebrated these in a haphazard way. When God was angry with Israel's waywardness, he allowed Babylon to conquer Israel, and for 70 years, the prophecy of Jeremiah was fulfilled after Zedekiah was dethroned in the 606 BC time period. God basically said, if you're not going to do these Jubilees properly, then I will do them for you. But here is where the secret of Jehovah's divine intentions of how long the Jubilees were intended to go before you come to the grand Jubilee of the 50,000th year and the beginning of mankind's completed restoration or restitution. Just like you had a 50th year celebration, you also have 49,000 years of the creative day to 2874, and then the 50,000th year grand antitypical Jubilee of Jubilees. Just like you had the 50th year Jubilee type of celebration. This fits together in such an amazing way. I wonder if there will be a grand Jubilee celebration when the world is completely restored to God in perfection in 2874. One of God's best kept secrets was tucked away in the 21st verse of 2 Chronicles 36, 17 to 21. You realize that this is where Zedekiah, the last king of Israel, was conquered in 606, and Israel would never celebrate Jubilees like they had tried to do before this time. But do you know why it was 70 years, as Jeremiah prophesied? Why not 40 or 50 or 100 years of captivity? I ask you again, do you know why it was 70 years? There is a very good reason for this. It appears to me that God was subtly showing us his divine intentions for a completed restoration of earth and humanity, but he didn't want to make it too obvious. Do you ever speak and try to get your recipient to read between the lines? Guess what? It appears to me that God sometimes does the same thing, like right here. Listen carefully. God tucked this secret passkey scripture away in the Old Testament, then unless someone pointed it out to you, it would be camouflaged like a brown moth on the bark of an old maple tree. The key was the number of the Jubilee cycles that God had intended to be observed by Israel. Now, this is something to get really excited about if you listen to me very intently. Follow along with me in 2 Chronicles 36, 17 to 21. I'm not sure we'll have time to read all of them. We're going to skip down to verse 19. And they burnt the house of God and brake down the wall of Jerusalem and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the godly vessels thereof. All the goodly vessels thereof. I'm going to put my readers on. Hold 1 second. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. Now notice, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. That was Jeremiah 25:11. Make a note of that. Notice, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths, for as long as she lay desolate, listen carefully, she kept Sabbath. She kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. This is one of God's best kept secrets. In other words, these Sabbaths were 50th year Jubilee Sabbaths, grand cycles, 70 of them, that Israel had not observed properly or at all. And God's intention was that each Jubilee year of those 70 cycles would be accounted for in the 70 years of desolation that God would enforce on Israel by Babylon. However, we see God's intention of ultimately fulfilling this type with the intended 70 cycles. I'm going to go slow, but look at points C, D, and G with the huge arrow near the bottom of your chart. If you look at C and take 19 cycles with Jubilees added, 50 years each, and add the remaining 51 cycles without Jubilees added, you come up with 70 cycles total. 19 plus 51 equals 70. That covers a period totaling 3,449 years, adding C plus D on your chart, resulting, as you see, in point G. The desolation of the land for 70 years, prophesied by Jeremiah, was for the representative 70 jubilees that were intended but not observed to God's complete satisfaction or observed at all. However, that does become the divine key to unlock the divine intentions as to how many Jubilee year cycles were intended in the overall typical picture. All of God's intentions ultimately become realities, just as sure as the earth abideth forever, Isaiah 55:11. You have to really study this to come to an understanding, brother. You might have to listen to this discourse again and add things up with a pencil, paper, and a calculator and carefully study this chart. I believe your time will be well rewarded and blessed thereby. 2 Timothy 2:15. Now, please stay with me. Now, recall that Israel only observed 19 of these Jubilee years from the entering of the land. Look for E on your chart. Namely, 1575 BC. God was upset with Israel and lowered the hammer on her with a 70-year period of Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah 25:8-11. So, how do we know when the last observance of the Jubilee year was? Well, again, the king of Babylon was not about to let Israel celebrate her jubilees in the land, was he? And the next 50th year cycle would have fallen during or within that 70-year period of captivity in Babylon. Look at B on your chart. So the majesty of God's divine mind locked in the starting date for us. See the arrow going back from B to A. By then going back to the previous and last Jubilee observed, namely the well-fortified date of 626 BC, you must have a commencement of reality come into being beginning at this point of 626, or the law failed. And so did what Jesus told us in Matthew 5:18. This is a huge issue that needs to be addressed with scriptural reasoning. At that point, the type appeared to have ceased without a fulfillment. Since the Jubilee system was a large feature of the law and a type according to the New Testament teachings, the antitype should have begun when the type ceased. And here is where the problem is. There was no antitypical times of restitution commencing that we see there in history, was there? None. So what do you do now? If we do not see a fulfillment of that type, a reality come into being then, as we read earlier, Jesus would have told us wrong that no feature of the law would go unfulfilled in Anatite, as he said in Matthew 5:18. That would be a serious infraction of truth. But Jesus never lied, did he? If he did, listen carefully, he would have broken the law and not been a perfect man to pay the ransom price. Now, this doctrinal type gets very serious, doesn't it? We know that can't be right. Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. The Jubilee feature of the law was not just a jot or tittle either. Not a small feature, but a large feature of the law. It could not pass away without an antitypical fulfillment. No more than the Passover type in the law could pass away without its fulfillment coming into being. So this Jubilee type is more seriously important than some brethren might have looked at before. You can't just discount it as not that important to study. It is important. Very important. And that's why our returned Lord opened up Brother Russell's mind to teach us this as he did in the second volume. Consequentially, we realize that what God was actually doing was locking in the starting point for the harvest Christians of the gospel age to know exactly when to begin calculating the antitypical cycles of the Jubilee system by allowing this Babylonian captivity. We won't have time to discuss it, but if you think about it, God was actually doing three things by this period of desolation. By going backward from the 70-year desolation period to the last typical Jubilee that Israel could have celebrated, we then have a starting point for the calculations of the antitypical Jubilee cycles. Namely, point A on your chart, or 626 BC, according to Bible chronology. Volume 2, page 33. Note that this date of 626 BC falls exactly in the middle of our divine plan chart. Now here I might just see if I can't do another screen share, Brother Bill. Let me see if I can pull this up. I hope I don't lose you. See, stop share. Bear with me. I'm not real proficient at this, but this is really incredible. See if I can pull this out. Can you see this, Brother Bill?
Yep.
Good. Yes. Okay. This is incredible. Note that this date of 626 falls exactly in the middle of our divine plan chart. It divides the 7,000-year span of time exactly in the very middle of the seventh creative day. That's remarkable. Just like you had an evening and a morning creative day in Genesis 1, you have an evening and morning in the last creative day. And 626 falls exactly in the middle. It evenly divides the seventh creative day when God rested. It's not a coincidence that 626 BC is the exact middle of this evening and morning of that seventh day. Genesis 2, 1 to 3. This is so remarkably evident and faith strengthening. And if you take the squaring principle of 50 times 50 forward, from 626 BC, namely 626 plus 2500, you come to 1874, the front door of the Earth's Great Jubilee. But now, if you take 70 times 50, the full span of 3500 years from 626 BC, you come to the end or back door of the seventh creative day, or 2874, the great Grand Jubilee, which begins the 50,000th year from Earth's history, corresponding to Israel's 50th year of Jubilee. I'm going to see if I can't pull up this other chart. Just one second. Stop share. Forgive me for not being more proficient here. Okay, hopefully you can see that. So this is what we're talking about off script, one of God's best kept secrets. You see how taking this calculation, you go from 626 and you multiply that, you know, that 70, what they should have done, jubilees, as God made, you know, made the desolation of the land, each one of those years represented a 50-year jubilee that should have been celebrated. Times 50 is 3,500, and you come out with 2874. You can download this if you want. It's on chat. So, this to me shows how God locks in the 1,000-year Jubilee Day of restitution between 1874 and 2874. So you want to know when the beginning of the 1,000-year millennium of Christ's reign begins? You simply have to go to its back door of 2874 and subtract 1,000 to get 1874. Since Christ's reign is 1,000 years and the end of his reign is in 2874, then the beginning of his reign must be 1874. 1,000 years earlier. Go back now. Bear with me. Again, just like in Leviticus 25, you would go 7 times 7 years or 49 years and then have the 50th year or Jubilee. So too, you go 7,000 years from the fall of Adam, come to the end of the seventh creative day, the 49th 1,000 year day, namely 49,000 years, and you then would come to the 50th 1,000th year, or 50th 1,000th year from the beginning of the first creative day. And you would have the 50th 1,000 year or grand Jubilee of Jubilees, the Great Jubilee in 1874, and the Grand Jubilee in 2874. I would say this type for the counting of the antitypical Jubilee cycles is pretty important. How about you? But then again, so is the return of our Lord in 1874. Check out a great talk by the well-respected Brother Carl Hagensek, The Jubilee, a Dual Type, as well as pages 50 and 51 in your sixth volume. This was a brilliant discourse I listened to. And just like it took the full year for Israelites to contend and arbitrate over the rights and possessions that they had coming back to them, so too it will possibly take the full 1,000 years of Christ's millennial reign to bring back all of the rights and liberties that God will justly allow them. And it is our hope that man will come to a full standing, a full resurrection, back to the sonship and perfection that Adam had and more. Mankind fully restored. What a grand jubilee that will be. Revelation 21, 1-4, Ephesians 2, 7. Yes, God has begun to set the stage for the kingdom by the beginning of the restoration of the land of Israel. This is a major sign of the beginning of restitution, Israel's return to their promised land rights. That should get us pretty excited, that part of what Peter was addressing in Acts 3, that Israel's restoration would begin when the great restorer, Christ Jesus, would return. I believe that these two major events are inseparably linked together. restitution, and Christ's return. Our prayer is that we have proven the value and reasoning of this important Bible text of Acts 3:21 and the linking methodology, for we believe it is the only scripture in the Bible that directly tells us when Christ returned, because it is inseparably attached to the Jubilee type, which Jesus validated the importance of in Matthew 5:18. Consider this. In Revelation 11:15, New American Standard Bible. Bear with me one second here. It says in Revelation 11:15, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever.'" We believe that Brother Russell was that seventh messenger. He is the authorized messenger of our returned Lord to deliver these understandings to those of us who watch and pray. Those who can see the dispensational truths of our returned king. Remember the parable of the nobleman? He went away to receive a kingdom, and that's what he returned with. Christ started setting up his kingdom in the days of these kings, the monarchical kings before 1914, Daniel 2:44, Luke 19:12 to 15, and Matthew 13:41 and 2. "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall," notice, "gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth," verse 42. His kingdom begins before the great time of trouble. A kingdom has a king, doesn't it? Yes, Jesus is scripturally king of the earth, with full dominion and power to accomplish this restitution or restoration of the earth. Revelation 14:14 and Ezekiel 21:25 to 27. I believe his members must be completed first before he will officially take his position as king of the world. Notice, king of the world. I believe there's a difference in king of the earth versus king of the world. Check out Volume 2, page I, and Volume 3, page II. But it is our belief, just like restitution has various stages, like restitution of the earth and restitution of the world, so too Brother Russell tells us that the kingdom has various stages of inauguration also. It's a process, dear friends, just like the Jubilee year was a process for the Israelites. Restitution or restoration didn't all happen in the first month or two of that 50th Jubilee. It probably took the full year to settle all the accounts, I would imagine. Volume 3 forward, page III. So too, Israel doesn't have its full land rights back. Women don't have their full rights back. Blacks don't have their full rights back. And on and on. It's a process, dear friends. But you don't have to look too hard to see its beginning evidences. In closing, if we look carefully and prayerfully and go back to study this topic, our hope is that you will all see the beginning processes of the restitution of all things spoken of by the mouth of all God's holy prophets. I believe that this is inseparably connected to our Lord's return. Let us make sure we as Christians hold up our beloved Jesus' words in spirit and in truth. Let us fully grasp the import of our Master Jesus' words and defend the truthfulness of our Master's words in Matthew 5:18. "Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle in no wise shall pass from the law till all be fulfilled. This is what I believe and why I believe it. I hope it's been helpful, and may the love Jesus taught us dwell in you richly. Amen.